every opportunity you had. If you were able to sit in on the Bible class this morning, you know that we talked about several things that is not our standard in religious affairs, and so our attention is going to be to what the Bible says. I'm not going to tell you what I think about it. That'd do you no good. It'd be a complete waste of mine and your time both for me to tell you what I think about or what I feel about the matter. But we'll see what the Bible says about the things we talk about. Again, we appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. I put the title of the lesson on the board before you this morning, Continue In. Most of us are familiar with what the Bible says in places like Revelation 2:10, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Our young men are working on a sermon on things that are involved in being faithful, taken from Revelation 2:10. And so they've been working on that, and hopefully we'll be able to present that to you before long. But we're familiar with statements like that. We realize that we cannot and we do not obey the gospel of Christ and then simply do nothing else. That the whole Christian religion is one of action. Like in Hebrews 5 verse 9 or James chapter 1 when he talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And if we do that, if we just simply hear and we do not do, then we deceive ourselves, the text says in James chapter 1. And so we know that we've got to be busy about doing certain things as God's people. I think I shared with you that my theme for myself for this year, as I wanted to make a goal to have, was two words, do better. And that covers a lot of things, just to simply do better the things that God would have us to be doing. And so there's a number of things that the Bible makes mention of that we are to continue in. Very simple sermon, and it's one that we need to know and understand and appreciate. In John chapter 8, verse 31, as we think about this statement, continue in, Jesus said, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, notice what He said, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And then most are familiar with the next verse, verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so Jesus urges them, He tells them, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. The word of God is something that ought to be precious to every one of us. And there's a lot that the Bible points out that the word of God accomplishes. Like John chapter 15, verse 3, Ye are clean through the word that I've stated or spoken unto you. Receive the word with meekness, that you may grow thereby. And we know we can grow from it. 2 Peter 3:18 and 1 Peter 2:2 and James chapter 1, verse 22. It saves our souls in verse 21 of James chapter 1. It's by the word of God that we can know the difference between what is right and what's wrong. Psalm 119 verses 104 and 105. And so we're to continue in His word. That we can grow, that we can know, that we can be saved, that we can go to heaven when life is over. There's a couple of other ones I want to put under this first point, though they could stand as a point out of themselves, and that is we've got to continue in the faith. Not only the word, but the Bible says the faith. Faith is the teaching of God's word. We've got to continue in the doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul urged Timothy to continue in the doctrine. He says, Acts 14, verse 22, as they were going to go back and confirm the souls of the disciples, those that had obeyed the gospel of Christ, he says, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And so we've got to continue in the word, the faith, the doctrine of Christ. That is, if we want to go to heaven. I believe I'm talking to folks this morning who want to go to heaven. You're interested in spiritual things or you want to be here this morning. But also as you think about things to continue in and what we must continue in, the Bible talks about continuing in the love of Christ. John chapter 15. And I'd encourage you to add to this study and see what you could add to these points. The sermon outlines, by the way, are in the back if you'd like to pick one of those up if you haven't done so already. And there'll be more in that outline than what I cover this morning. John chapter 15, verse 9. As a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now watch what he says. continue in my love. And this chapter has a lot to say about love. Like when you come down to verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Well, how did he love us? How did he demonstrate that? Notice what he says, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so the Bible says that we must continue in the love of Christ. How do we do that? By keeping his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. You ever thought about how love is expressed? We know that God has demonstrated his love through the giving of his Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's a similar statement in the same way is made in John chapter 3, verse 16. Demonstration of God's love was the sending of his Son. Jesus demonstrated his love for us when he laid his life down, when he died on the rugged cross of Calvary. How do we express our love then to the Father and to the Son? Continuing in his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we need to continue in, abide in the word, the doctrine, the faith, the love of Christ. And also Acts chapter 13 and in verse 43. If you'll turn there with me, we'll pick another point up. Acts chapter 13 and in verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I understand that the grace of God is a big topic, a big subject in the Bible. But we could not be saved if it were not for the grace of God. Grace in general means favor that is not merited or deserved and so forth. It's favor. Love. And we know that God has loved us. We know that without his favor, without his grace, we could not be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We know that the favor of God, the grace of God, was demonstrated in the pages of the Old Testament. From Genesis chapter 6, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the grace whereby we could be saved was made possible through the sending of God's Son. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, justly in this present world. Titus chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And so we've got to continue in grace. You know, there's a lot of folks today who say there's no way that an individual could fall from grace. Well, we talked about in the Bible class this morning, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, for whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You can't fall from something except you are in something. And so we can't turn our backs on God and be eternally separated from him through backsliding rebellion. As a Hebrew writer pointed out in places like Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 15, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12. We've got to continue, not only in the word or the doctrine or the faith or the love of Christ, the grace of God, but there's some other things that we are to continue in. Like, for example, in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2, Paul's writing to the church of Christ at Colossae, and notice what he says, Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2. He says, continue in, that's what we've been talking about, things we're to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It's been stated before that prayer is perhaps the most neglected duty and privilege of God's people. You'll have to take self-inventory on that. So will I. But we can't pray too much, can we? I know I need your prayers. Gary prayed on my behalf this morning. Larry mentioned my mother in his prayers, and I appreciate both of that. I need your prayers. I'm not so high and mighty that I think I can't benefit from your prayers. We know that we need one another's prayers. We're to continue in prayer. As James would point out in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we need to continue instantly in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to pray for and to pray about. And so we need to be busy about praying. As you think about things to continue in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. We just talked about the love of God and the love of Christ and our love demonstrated toward them. Now notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Very simple four words. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How, Lord? If you have love one toward another. John 13. Verse 35. Well, we talked about expressing our love toward the Father, toward Christ, and keeping the commandments that He's given. But how do we know that we love one another? Well, I suppose we could say, I love you. It's probably the most abused and misused three words because it's so simple to say. That a lot of folks today in our world just simply say it, and that's it. They don't mean nothing else more than that, but to just simply say, I love you. And it's okay to say, I love you. We should say, I love you, but we should mean what we say. Not to just simply say the words. Jesus didn't just simply say it. The Father just didn't simply say it. They demonstrated it by what they did. As someone has rightfully said, you don't have to tell me you love me. You've shown it. Well, does our actions have anything to do with our love one toward another? You better believe it. But it's not guesswork. Don't take my word for it. Notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Now, is he saying, don't say, I love you? No, that's not what he's saying. It misses the point. He's drawn a contrast. He's saying what is important about it. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Now watch this. But in deed and in truth. Think of that. Not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How do we express our love one toward another? We've got several that are sick among us. We know that. Folks who are hurting, folks who are not feeling well. And there's ways that we can express our concern to them. I know many of you are so busy about doing that. Not only what you've done for my family in time of sickness, for my mother, but that I've seen you do for others. And so we don't have any shortage of that here. But we can always, in spite of how much we do, keep on doing more, right? Keep on expressing and having the love, brotherly love, continuing in that until the world is no more. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. If I were to ask the question this morning, raise your hand if you love God. I'm pretty safe to say that nearly all of you that could understand that question would raise your hand. Most of you, well, I love God. We even sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. And yet this text says, if I love God, or he that loveth God, I'm to love my brother also. In word and tongue, in action, the text says we just read a moment ago. Let brotherly love continue. How are we doing here at Mill Street on brotherly love? And can we do better? Well, I'm not saying we don't have that. I believe we do. Well, like many other things, we can always do better. We can always strive to improve. Come with me to 1 John 2 and in verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, I've already talked about abiding in the Word and the Gospel and the faith which has been preached to every creature under heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. The time when Paul penned that, it was. But notice again that he says, ye also shall continue, if you continue in what you've heard, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now in the religious world that we live in, so many folks want to take when the Bible talks about something dwelling in something else, or someone dwelling in someone else, that is a literal personal indwelling. Now, they do that all the time with the Holy Spirit, do they not? When the Bible says that God gives Spirit, that He dwells in us, they say, well, that's a personal literal indwelling. If that is a personal literal indwelling, when the Bible uses language like that, then explain to me how we are to continue in the Son and in the Father literally. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? It's on the stipulation that we continue in His Word. When the Bible talks about that, often He's talking about a fellowship, a spiritual fellowship, a relationship that we have that is sustained as we walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, not a literal personal indwelling. Now, such would be a certain and an impossibility to do that. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And the context goes all the way through our third chapter. That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, now watch it, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, and in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, we talked about that earlier. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How's that done? Through abiding in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ. To give you two passages that nail that down. Come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul, I'm interested in knowing how that can take place. You come over to the book of Colossians, which is a nice little companion to the book of Ephesians, and it makes a similar statement. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. So the Spirit indwells the Christian as the word of Christ indwells the Christian. We have fellowship with the Father and with the Son when we walk in His Word. Again, 1 John chapter 1. Let no one think that we can obey the gospel of Christ and then do nothing else. These are just a few of the things we mentioned this morning that we are to continue in. And there's more that I've put in the outline if you want to pick it up. can't even begin to do those things until you've obeyed the gospel of Christ. Because until we've obeyed the gospel of Christ, we're not in Christ. And to be out of Christ, there is no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 make that clear. Talking about, they sorrow not even as others which have no hope, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. So outside of Christ there is no hope. And I want to go to heaven. Do you? Probably every one of us would answer in the positive on that. But you cannot go to heaven except you obey the gospel of Christ. You can't go to heaven outside of Christ. You can't go to heaven outside the family of God. You can't go to heaven without obeying. And so if you're not a Christian, you need to begin by becoming one. And then continuing in these things that we've talked about. Someone says, preacher, I want to become a Christian, but how do I do that? You do what they did in Bible days to become a Christian. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, Mark 16:16, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, and Acts 3:19, and a host of other passages. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:10, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. I don't know what you've committed. Perhaps not only to you and God, but He'll forgive you of everything you've ever committed. Your sins will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5, and the Lord Himself will add you to His church, the Church of Christ, Acts 2, and then verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord, and you're not faithful, and you realize that, and you want to come home, you want to be restored. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Why not come right now?